on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back. It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast as we roll through. This week, of course, Coyote football has the weekend off, but this week, the FCS Playoff Selection Committee revealed its top 10 teams if the season were to end today. And the question was going to be, where does South Dakota land after the Coyotes fell in overtime to South Dakota State? Top 10 rankings, according to the FCS Playoff Committee, North Dakota State right now is at number one, while Montana State is number two. South Dakota State is number three, while South Dakota was number four in the rankings. UC Davis just behind the Coyotes at number five. The rest of the top 10 included Southeast Missouri State, Idaho, Mercer, Incarnate Word, and Montana. So that was the committee playoff rankings if the season were to end today. It's the only rankings that the committee's going to release before Selection Sunday, which is, of course, November 24th, and the day after the regular season. It's 11:30 a.m. That show, and so hopefully, we have a great deal of reason to watch that, and this will be different this year in the playoffs. It'll be the first time that that they have the top 16 seated in the playoff field. So 9 through 16 will host in round number one, and then, of course, you'll play a bracketed playoffs the rest of the way. So gone are the days of regionalizing the quarterfinal possibilities. You know, they could still do it with the rankings in a sense, but if they truly rank 1 through 16, you know, you get what you get. You are where you are, and you get the matchup, and you just go play the game. And it is a little bit different than in the past where, you know, North Dakota State last year was on the line with South Dakota, and that was a regionalized deal. So South Dakota was either going to play Montana State or North Dakota State. And, of course, if it was NDSU, which it was, it makes it a bus trip. But gone are those days. They go to a ranking system, a seeding system, 1 through 16. And we'll see how it all plays out here as we move forward. So football is off this week, but the Coyotes are back in action against Indiana State next week inside the Dakota Dome. This week, many of us were rocked by the news of the sudden passing of Bridget Schumacher. Bridget Arns, of course, as she played at USD. When I heard about this over the weekend, and you start to process it and you try to come up with words, and it's just hard, you know, hard to come up with words. But even though you can't find the words, it's easy to describe somebody like Bridget Arns, Bridget Schumacher. And so many people have done that this week on social media. We've seen the outpouring of support and remembrance from her former teammates, coaches, whether they've been the head coaches, assistant coaches, anybody who crossed paths with Bridget, they all say the exact same thing. Bridget had the smile that would light up a room. Bridget had the work ethic that you wish you could instill in every single person. You know, when you grow up on a farm in rural Nebraska, you better know how to work. And Bridget did. You know, Bridget fought through some injuries during her career, and she played through a lot of pain at times during her career, more pain than a lot of people really understand, right? But that's who she was. She was going to go out there and give it her all, and she was going to do it because she was a part of a team. And she knew that other people relied on her. When other people rely on her, she's going to step up and find a way, and she did that the best that she could. You know, when you have a job like I do, and it's amazing I get this opportunity, but we travel with student athletes, and you get to know a lot of these student athletes and coaches on a little bit of a different level, right? Maybe you become lifelong friends with them. Maybe you're just like, you know, really, really close while you travel because you spend so much time on a bus and on the road and some of that. And Bridget was special. Bridget was the person that, you know, win or lose, she was always going to have a smile on her face. And it may not be an instant smile after a loss, but she would get that smile on her face because she had the ability to pick everyone up. And that's who she was. Bridget's first year at USD was in 2013, the 2013-14 women's basketball season. And that actually was my first year at USD. And it was the first year I got to do radio for the USD women's basketball team. And that was a special year. You'll all remember the Coyotes go to the NCAA tournament in that year with a huge upset win over South Dakota State in the semifinals of the Summit League tournament. And Bridget tied her career high as a freshman with 12 points in that game to get the Yotes to the next game against Denver in the championship. And, you know, as I started into my role and she starts playing, I didn't realize at the time, number one, that I'd be fortunate enough to stick around the University of South Dakota for as long as I have, but also that we were going to talk about an Orange player on our radio broadcast for the next decade almost. Right? Because Allison overlapped a little bit with Bridget, and then you had Monica playing at USD, and what a great family. This family supported USD so much while those players were playing, and it was amazing. It was, you know, when the Sanford Coyote Sports Center got built, and you could see half of Cedar and Knox County and Nebraska in the one end zone of the Sanford Coyote Sports Center, because they would bring everybody, and they have a big family. And they have a lot of friends, and it's a well-known family, and they bring a lot of people to support Bridget and Allison and Monica. And so it was always special to see that. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to hear a lot from her family because they had to work, right? They have farm, and they got to take care of things. They couldn't always go on the trips that some of the other parents get the opportunity to go on. And they listened a lot to our broadcast, and it always meant a great deal to me personally that when I would see them in person, that they would you know, appreciate the work that we did so that they could follow along. And I always thought that was really special. But it's a great family, and certainly I know a lot of people have their family in thoughts this week. Very difficult week for them. And as they move forward, you know, Bridget got out of college and she got married and a mother of four. And so certainly we want to wish all the best to her family, her husband, her kids, and her sisters, her parents, everybody involved who have just been such a great inspiration. Her brothers, you know, have been a great deal to USD. And Bridget was special, and I think if you've followed along on the post on social media, everybody says the same thing, right? The smile that lights up the room, the work ethic that she had, those two things set Bridget Arnes apart, and they made her successful in Division I basketball, and they made her, you know, the person that she has always been. I started thinking about that Summit League tournament where the Coyotes beat South Dakota State and then Denver. And remember, it was the Sioux Falls Arena. And back then, South Dakota State got a bye in the first game. Coyotes had to survive a game against Western Illinois. And then they found a way to upset South Dakota State. And then they go on to play Denver in the Summit League Championship game. That tournament, Bridget solidified her spot in USD women's basketball. She had some good games leading up to that tournament. But when you look back at that year, she had only played 20 minutes in a game a handful of times. She did it in the semifinals and the championship of the Summit League tournament. And she went 10 for 16 in those two games from the field, scoring 22 points and helping USD to a Summit League championship. She was a freshman at the time. You could say I was a freshman at the time as far as Division I broadcasting and USD women's basketball. So let's go back to March 11th, 2014, South Dakota and Denver. Bridget Arnes with some key plays helping South Dakota to its first Summit League championship.
Pass left side to Kelly Stewart on the wing. Up top to Bridget Arnes, who fires over to the right wing to Nicole Seacamp. Down to the right corner, Kelly Stewart with the basketball. Back up to Seacamp, now left side to Taya Hemiller. Hemiller kicks it inside. There's Bridget Arnes, runs it up with the left hand. It is good. Bridget Arnes scores. Yesterday, Bridget Arnes was very, very good. Played one of the best basketball games of her career. Seacamp lob pass into Bridget Arnes. Arnes dribbling around, spin move, layup up. Going, the Coyotes lead! 29-28, South Dakota by one with 4:43 to play in the first half. He Miller moves over to the point. Crosses over there. Back over to Seacamp right side. Dumps it inside. Here's Bridget Arns. Spin move. Shot up. Good. Bridget Arns. The freshman scores. And it's 54-53. He Miller under two to go in the ballgame. Coyotes trying to win their first ever Summit League championship. Trying to move on for the first time in Division I history to the NCAA tournament. Shot no good. Rebound. Bridget Arns. A putback good. Wow. Bridget Arns. Come alive here in this tournament.
She helped South Dakota reach the NCAA tournament for the first time ever in that season, and of course did help the Coyotes win the WNIT just a couple of seasons later. And what a special season that was as well. She was a part of a lot of special moments of Coyote women's basketball. We'll remember her a lot for what she did on the floor, and I hope many people can remember her for the hard work that she always put in and the smile that she could always light up a room. This week on the Yotecast podcast, we talk to Eric Peterson and dive in about men's basketball and a preview of the upcoming season, which gets underway on Monday. But up first, Friday night, South Dakota soccer team will take on South Dakota State. Had a chance this week to catch up with the Coyote goalkeeper, Campbell Fisher, talk about the roller coaster of a season, but the opportunity ahead for South Dakota. Campbell, your team getting ready for the Summit League soccer tournament, and you look at that, and like we're at the end of October, start of November, and we're talking about a conference tournament. Does it feel to you like the season flies by?
Yeah, it went really fast. Honestly, I don't think I was expecting it to go by that quick, but when you look back, you're like, wow, we're already 3 months in, and we've played, I don't know, 15, 18 games, something like that. So it definitely went fast, but the days go kind of long, you know?
How crazy is it? You guys start your season different than any other team or most other teams. You play a third of your season or however much, a little bit of it at least, before anybody's back on campus. Is that crazy?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a unique part of our sport. And Michael, our head coach, always likes to say that for a month we get to be pro soccer players because we're just playing soccer, not worried about school and other things. And honestly, that month is really important for our team and for getting us to the point where we are now.
You mentioned Michael, and this year he got win number 50 mm-hmm. on the season and became the program's all-time wins leader. What did that mean to you? I mean, obviously he's been here a while, and a lot of those wins have come without you as part of the team, yeah. But you're here on the milestone game. Mm-hmm. What did that mean to you?
It was awesome. I think it's just a testament to how he is as a coach and the change that he's making in this program and being a part of it, being from South Dakota, I think was a really cool accomplishment, and I'm really proud of him and happy for this program.
You're from Hartford, so not far away. Was this something that you always had in the back of your mind that you wanted to be close to home, play close to home?
Yeah, I mean, I would say being close to home and having my parents able to come to games is a big part of why I chose USD. And I love like the campus here and everything, but being able to represent the state that I'm from, it being a state where soccer's still growing, is really a cool experience for me.
When you were in the recruiting process, when did South Dakota really become on your radar and you know, the spot where you thought maybe this is for you?
Honestly, right away. They reached out right when June 15th, I think, was the date hit, and they were kind of first on my radar right away. It was really cool to get, like, the recognition from them immediately, and then I kind of found myself comparing every other place to USD because when I came here, it just kind of felt like home.
When you look back to your time in high school, even before going to college, was it always soccer for you that you thought maybe was going to be your sport?
If I'm honest, if I go back to, like, middle school, no, I thought I was going to be a basketball player, but then you grow to only 5'5", and you realize you probably need to move to the next sport. But I loved other sports growing up. I played basketball all through, but soccer was just something different, a different skill set, different mindset that I really found to love as I grew up.
Your goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. Were you always a goalkeeper?
Honestly, yes. A lot of girls probably would say no, like they had to play other positions, but me, I've always had the mentality, and my sister is 5 years older than me, and she was always a goalkeeper, so I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to do that. It's just looks fun, looks a little easier than running around with everyone else, but.
You mentioned 5'5 stopped you from basketball. It didn't stop you from being a goalkeeper. Most people probably think, man, you need to be long and tall for that mm-hmm. so you could stretch across. Has that been a challenge?
I mean, I just feel like I have a different skill set. There's different ways to play goalkeeper, and I would say that I've been able to adapt to my height. I've had to work on like jumping, explosion, stuff like that more than like maybe a 6-foot goalkeeper would. But honestly, I kind of use it to my advantage and kind of use a underdog mentality when it comes to playing goalkeeper. Yeah.
When you're in goal and obviously the action's going on and it starts to come your direction, you know, they get onto the wrong side of the field, if we look at it that way. What are you looking for? What are you trying to see as the play develops and unfolds so that you can put yourself in the best position?
A really big part of being a goalkeeper is reading where the other team is like looking to play and then also knowing where your defenders are, right? But I would say just as I've developed as a goalkeeper, like just doing rep after rep of all these different kinds of situations so that when those happen in game, you really don't even have to think about it and it just is natural and it just happens is really important for a goalkeeper's development. But I would say a big thing is communicating with my teammates and making sure we're all on the same page so that we can make plays when we have to.
What would you call your strength as a goalkeeper and something that you're still trying to overcome and work on to be better at?
I would say one of my strengths, I would kind of say they go hand in hand, my strength and my weakness. I think I'm a good communicator, and I really focus on making sure my team is organized, but I can always improve on that. And there's always, like, we'll give up a goal, and I'm like, oh, if I would have just told her she needed to slide one more step to the left, like, that would have never happened. So it's definitely, there's a lot of things I could improve on. There's a lot of things I feel like I'm confident and good at, but you can always be better as a goalkeeper.
What has this year been like for you? You look at up and down how your season has gone. You had 7 saves in a draw against South Dakota State, 8 saves against Oral Roberts in a draw. Unfortunately, a loss against Denver, but 10 saves in that one. You've continued to set new highs in saves, which is bad. You're getting a lot of shots on you, but it's good that you're making those saves. How would you describe this season?
It's been a lot of ups and downs, not just for me, but for us as a team. But I think the biggest thing is we've been together and we do everything together. We focus on next thing, next play, and whether we give up a goal or not, the next play we're going to do everything we can to not give up a goal. And I would just say the trust that my teammates have in me has just instilled so much confidence where, like, in the SDSU game we gave up a goal with, like, we were like 20 minutes into the game, I think. And from then on, you can feel like down and out and like, oh, this game's over. But the confidence they had in me and the confidence I had in them, we just know that we're going to be there the next play and we're going to do everything we can.
How do you try to flush it when one does sneak by and you're like, gosh, you feel like you should have had the stop or could have had the stop? How do you flush that because you know you got to get yourself ready?
Some days it's harder than others, if I'm honest. But honestly, I just try to remember that soccer, while it's everything I work towards, it's just a game. And giving up a goal sucks in the moment, but after the game, I know that my teammates are still going to love me, my coaches are still going to be rooting for me, my family's still there for me, that it's not the end-all be-all in my life, yeah.
You're in your second year in the program. You didn't play at all last year, but now you're getting your opportunity this year. What'd you learn in year one?
I learned a lot. So I was hurt for the fall season, but I got to watch Carol Lewis be in goal, and that was a really good experience for me. I got to see that fifth year experience and all of what she does, not only in games, but also in practice. And I got to learn that every rep matters. It's all about your attitude and your effort. And I think that's really helped me come into this season and be able to earn a spot and earn those minutes.
What do you think you could take from this season? And hopefully the season extends for a little bit yet for your team. Mm-hmm. What can you take from this season and build off in the off season so that you come back even stronger next year?
For me, it's my teammates, how they never quit. I think that's really big, a big thing for us this year is no matter the score, no matter what's happened, like, we do not quit. We're gonna finish all 90 minutes. And I think when you go into the spring season, that season can be really long and drawn out, right? It's 4 months of basically just training. But thinking about that never quit mentality and that we're just gonna get better, we're gonna build 1% every day to then maybe next year we'll be even better than this year.
I know you mentioned it's been a season of ups and downs, mm-hmm. and your team has lost a lot of close. You battled a lot of matchups with some of the best teams in the Summit League. How confident is this team going into the Summit League tournament? Even though it's a 6 seed, right, playing mm-hmm. at the 3 seed, how confident is this group knowing how you matched up with South Dakota State the first time around and just how you've matched up with everybody so far?
I think Michael has said multiple times after some of our tough losses or our tough ties that we can play with any team in the Summit League, and we're not scared of anyone. We're not scared to step on the field because we know that as a team, we can compete with any of these teams, and honestly, we're not that far off. It's one moment that might need to change, one maybe little bit of luck that might need to go our way, and then we're winning that game instead of tying or losing.
What do you want to see out of your team? You've watched them all year, right? And you get a great view of what's going on. What do you want to see out of this team to give itself a chance to advance in the Summit League tournament?
Just playing together, playing free, playing loose, having a good time on the field, because for a couple of our girls, it's their last ever game possibly, right? Hopefully not. It's not going to be. But just playing with that mentality for everyone, right? Like, we're playing to go on. We're playing to keep practicing, keep going. And so I think having fun, playing with discipline and joy, and just, yeah.
You can tell how much you enjoy the game of soccer. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you're not playing soccer? What are your hobbies?
I love to watch sports, any sport. I'll watch football, basketball, volleyball, anything, you name it. I mean, I've always grown up playing every sport. Yeah, sports are kind of my life, if I'm honest.
What are you in school for, and what do you hope to do in the future?
I'm kinesiology, exercise science, and hoping to go to PT school after I'm done.
Was there something that kind of motivated you to go that direction? What got you interested in PT?
I would say probably last year when I was hurt, I kind of had like the firsthand experience of like going through injury, going through recovery, and seeing like how athletes need more people in that who really care for them and have had those experiences themselves. And so I think that's why I chose that path.
All right, well, good luck in the Summit League tournament, and hopefully for as long as your season can extend, and we hope that you guys can have a lot of success. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That is Campbell Fisher. She, of course, is the goalkeeper for the South Dakota soccer team. They are in action this week when they travel to South Dakota State Friday night. They'll take on the Jackrabbits in round one of the Summit League tournament. The winner is on to take on the Denver Pioneers. So big thanks to Campbell for joining us here on the Yotecast podcast, and certainly all the best to Coyote Soccer as they make that trip to Brookings and play South Dakota State, and hopefully they can extend their season. Of course, USD and SDSU played to a draw earlier this season, and in that draw, Campbell Fisher had herself, I believe it was 7 saves in that matchup. She has 18 saves over the last 2 matchups for South Dakota as well. 8 in a draw against Royal Roberts, 10 saves in a loss against the Denver Pioneers. So we're seeing a goalkeeper grow right before us. Had a chance to catch up with Eric Peterson, of course, the head coach of Coyote men's basketball, and talk about their foreign tour trip and look ahead to what to expect this year out of the men's basketball team.
Coach, hard to believe how fast the season's approaching, but next week it's game week. In fact, 3 games for your team in the first week of the season. Before we get into the game week, let's go back to this summer. Your team had an opportunity to go on one of the foreign tour trips, and I think it's been a while since South Dakota's done that, but you take the guys to Italy, get an opportunity to play some games, but also just a really good opportunity for chemistry building.
Yeah, I think it's been 2016 since the last time we went on a foreign tour, and I was there, right? I was in Spain with the team, but got a chance to go to Italy for 11 days, and awesome opportunity to spend time together and play 3 games, right? And we were aggressive. We went to 8 different cities, and I wasn't just going to do it and go to like a couple different places, right? Our guys rarely have a chance to get overseas. Some of those guys might never be overseas again. So I just wanted those guys to see a ton of different things. And we were busy. We were really, really busy. And I think it helped us. Like, we were, I don't know, walking around all day doing tours, but then we had a game that night, right? And could have made every excuse that it was so hot in Italy, and it was hot. But hey, we saw everything, and then we refocused and got to the basketball piece. And I think the major piece that is kind of underrated is everyone talks about going over there and having those days together, but it's having the practices together before you go over, right? To get 10 extra practices. I think we practiced 21 times this summer as a team, which is very rare. And it hopefully is going to help us going into the season.
Well, and helpful because your roster has a lot of new faces on it. And so your first action of them, game action, was in Italy. What was your takeaway from this team as they got to play some of those games together?
Yeah, it's going to be hard, I think, year to year to keep track of, is he a returner? Is he new or where he at? But that's part of it, too. We've had chances to do the 4-2, and I thought this year was the best year for us to do it. We had a good mix of guys that are coming back, right? UMKC, number one, as far as returners and points and scoring and rebounding, assists, all that stuff. We were number two, right? So have a lot of good pieces back and tried to analyze what we needed and bring in those guys at certain positions. And we brought in two guards out of the portal and two bigs and then some freshmen as well. So always good to get some games before the games with those guys and just have a chance to play together, right? I think it's going to be very rare now that you get your whole team back and you can have continuity that way. You're always going to lose half your team, and how can you springboard that going into the season? And having a chance to play Chase, Dre, Cam, and Ashton with those guys, really valuable to us.
What do you learn about this group? I mean, people always wonder when you get a lot of portal kids, how much do they play? How much do returners play? How does it all mesh together? What have you been able to learn about this group?
I wish I had the full answer to that right now. I think right away you learn in practice, like, okay, you're always evaluating where's their skill level, right? You can see stuff on film and try to watch every single game, but until you actually coach that kid, it's hard to know exactly what you're getting. There's a lot of intangible stuff too that you don't see on film. Like Chase is an awesome leader, right? Dre needs to talk more on defense, right? He's a very good defender, but he's got to communicate better. So you're always analyzing certain things like that. But I think a lot of it is who plays well with who, right? And we're playing a little bit differently this year. We're legitimately going to play 11 guys on every single night that we play. So what are the lineups that we can use? Who has great chemistry together? It's almost like, is it Mighty Ducks where they're trying to figure out the line changes back in the day, right? And who has great chemistry together? We're not going to do line changes, but like, hey, are there certain lineups that they're really good together? Or are there certain lineups that are awful and we can't play those guys together? I think that's part of it. And then the main thing is like, who's going to compete, right? I think we know what we're getting out of the portal, but until you coach them and roll the ball, like who's going to compete every single possession? And I think all four of the guys that we got out of the portal are competitors and play their tails off.
I always wonder what basketball would look like if we had line changes like hockey or free substitution like youth basketball. I mean, you could literally have your offensive unit and defensive unit.
Yeah, I didn't really fully realize it. I was an AD at Williston State and we started hockey. And I didn't know really anything about hockey, but I knew we needed that in that area, right? So fully supported it, went to bat, got it done. And I'm watching the first game. And I didn't realize, and maybe you guys listening don't realize this either if you don't watch hockey, but they play for like 30 seconds and they come off the ice and they are gassed. Like and it's not going to be like that for us this year. It's going to be maybe 2 or 3 minutes where we play like that. But I didn't realize how quickly they line change and how exhausted they are. Now it might be because they're hockey players and they were out till 2 in the morning. No, I'm just kidding. But it's pretty phenomenal. Like I told our players when that happened, I was like, you guys need to go to a hockey game and watch how hard they play for those 30 seconds. And like, they're giving everything they got. They get a break, then they're right back in, right? So it's kind of cool to see, but man, I don't think you could do that consistently in college.
It would be very interesting and certainly would change your management of the team. But 11 guys playing, and you mentioned the portal guys. That means a lot of guys who were returning from last year's team will continue to get their opportunity. Who's made the biggest stride in your mind up to this point?
Yeah, out of the returners, I would say two guys. Isaac's been really, really good. He led us in scoring this summer. He led us in scoring in Italy and didn't play one of the halves because he tweaked his hip, right, just to pull a muscle. Scoring-wise, he's taken a huge jump. And then the other one that I really, really like that has a chance to be very good for us is Jake Brack. And you guys saw glimpses of him last year. Jake was our Gator guy, played really hard, got rebounds. You know, every time he'd play, he'd have an effect on the game. Just was a freshman, right? So would make a few mistakes, and it was hard to play him. We played so many close games, right? So it's hard to throw a freshman out there and just like, you're maybe not setting them up for success if you do that. Where I think he's had a year, he's had the summer, and he's been really, really good for us. He reminds me of a player that we had at Utah State named Justin Bean. Justin was like just a Gator guy, did everything that people didn't want to do, right? I mean, they would do it, but did they like doing it? No, like getting their nose in there on the, you know, loose ball, just diving on the floor, trying to go get every single rebound. And maybe you get hit and dropped to the floor three or four times a game, but he would do it, right? Setting mean physical screens where he's just, you know that he's out there. And I think Jake's really taken a huge jump for us that way.
When you look at this team, I mean, last year obviously was a little disappointing for a lot of people involved, and now you're trying to take that next step forward. What has been the mindset for this group as they get ready to start a new season, knowing, you know, they want to take a leap from where they were a year ago?
Yeah, I think the difference is last year in our staff meetings, we talked about this all the time. We were really young. We were bottom 30 in the country in experience and just had a lot of young guys. And when we talked about how we're going to build this thing, it was, hey, are we just going to go get all transfers? Or are we still going to recruit high school kids? And we brought in a bunch of high school kids, and we brought in some transfers too, but we brought in high school kids, and we just didn't have a lot of experience, right? So in certain games, that showed, right? We did some dumb stuff late where, you know, I've said this before, we lost five games in league play by around 3 points on average, right? So everything was really tight. And as a coach, you're just kind of banging your head against the wall like, man, like we just can't get over that hump. And we retain most of our team, right? So if we're making those same mistakes this year, that's my fault. Like as a coach, I can't say, oh, we're young, right? And I'm not trying to make excuses. We're not an excuse type team. But as a coach, you know what you have in your program, and you see them every single day. And I knew we were going to make some of those mistakes. And you're trying to coach every day so we don't. Right. But man, it's hard, right? And some of that stuff, you just got to say, man, we got to get these guys back next year. And I think it'll be much different. And you know, we lost Lahat to the to graduation. We lost Boston to the portal. But I feel like our team is intact, and we've analyze some of the weaknesses, and we're making changes as coaches every single day to attack those. So the mindset is like, we're older, right? We're more experienced. I think we're different in certain areas. If you look at our stats last year, we were bottom, I don't know, 30 in the country in rim protection, right? We just didn't have a lot of rim protection. We brought in two rim protectors, Ashton Smith and Cam Fens, are great rim protectors for us right now. We were, I think, bottom two in the country in steals. Look it up. It's either last or bottom two. And we brought in some guards that can really get into the ball and make some plays for us on defense, right? And generate some of those steals. And we turned the ball over a ton, right? And I think that to me was the biggest thing, and the biggest reason we lost some of those games is just too many turnovers. And we brought in a couple of guards that can play, right? And last year, we had two point guards get hurt with season-ending injuries and didn't come back. Now we have Chase, and Chase is a true point guard that can handle the rock and make plays for others, and I'm really excited about Chase. But a lot of it, and I know I'm going on and rambling, but a lot of it is our style of play. We're going to change a little bit how we play. We're pressing every single possession, and it's going to speed the game up and create more opportunities to play offense for us. And maybe we cut the turnovers down a little bit, John, but like, we're going to have more chances to make up for it if we do turn the ball over.
First three games are at home, four of the first five at home. You'll play two Big Ten teams in the month of November with a trip to Iowa and Nebraska. When you look at the schedule, how is this thing built for this team?
I like our schedule. It's the first time I maybe could say that since I've been here. We have 8 non-conference home games. We have, I think, 16 of our 31 are at home. And then obviously getting to play the tournament up in Sioux Falls, like, right, it's kind of like a home game for us. I like that we play at home early, right, to maybe get our guys a little confidence. You know, I love playing Midwest teams that are going to buy us. And that means pay us to come there and play. We don't get those too often. So to get a chance to play Iowa and Nebraska, it helps with recruiting, right? You can say that to a Nebraska kid, like, we got Boom on our roster, right? We're playing in Lincoln. Paul Bruns, like, grew up an Iowa fan. Like, we're playing Iowa. Like, that's cool to some of those kids. On top of that, with the Nebraska connection, we got Coach Ubel that played at Nebraska. We have Boone from Lincoln. We have Tristan Simpson that is on staff at Nebraska. And then they're starting point guard. I coached at Utah State, recruited to Utah State, and coached at Utah. So there's some connections there, right? Which I think is super cool. But I like how our schedule is put together. It's compact in certain areas, right? With 3 games in 5 days, 2 games in 3 days. But it gives us a chance, the way we're playing, to kind of be in a routine and then get a break, right? If you press for 40 minutes, like you can't, you need a break at some point, right? So we didn't schedule a game right after Christmas before conference play to get maybe a little extended Christmas break. But I like where we're at. Sometimes when you take over a program, the schedule's not where you want it to be. There was one game on the schedule when I got the schedule in April. That's not tremendous. And the difference is when you schedule games, those are 2-year commitments, right? They're not just one. You can't just say, hey, we're going to do it for a year and get out of it. Very rare that you can do that. So we finally got our schedule to where we want it, and I'm really excited about this fall.
You look at this team as a whole, and obviously you're entering another year as the head coach. People have started to understand what to expect from you on the sidelines. As you look at this group, what has to be the identity of this team if it's going to be successful?
Yeah, our pace, and it starts on the defensive end, right? We talked about creating extra possessions, but we're a little bit further behind on offense right now. We just got done with a close scrimmage, and we just had a staff meeting talking about it, and it's my fault. But we put so much time into defense, right? And I think at the end of the day, that's what has to get us to cut the nets down in Sioux Falls, right? Our pressing stuff, us being really good in the half court. As the head coach, John, if I don't make changes to our roster and what we're doing and it's not working, that's on me as the head coach, right? And we tried the last couple of years to do it how we've always done it, right? And sometimes it's not the right way. How we've always done it, we've had guys in our program for 4 or 5 years, and that's not the case anymore, right? So here, we were able to get a couple of transfers, but we had Matt Mooney and those guys. We had them for more than 1 year, right? It wasn't 1 year they come here, they're done, or 1 year, then they're transferring to another Division I school. Now it's like, hey, we're going to lose half our roster every single year. And how can we keep it simple, and how can we make some changes defensively so it is more simple and we can just worry about just playing really, really hard and maybe a little more chaotic than, hey, we're going to be scout-based and we're going to be worried about their actions and stuff like that. We figured it out last year. It was just too late, right? We had a really good month of February and we were trending the right way. Season ended. And our team's different now, right? So you just can't do things the same way every single year or how we've always done it. And one, you got to tweak and make some modifications. And as the head coach, that's got to be me. And it's got to be on the defensive end.
All right. I think people are excited for the season. It's coming really, really fast with the opener on Monday night as part of a doubleheader. Coach, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
You bet. It's a whiteout on Monday, so make sure you wear white. Our staff will be wearing white, and let's pack that place. Let's get this thing rocking.
That is Eric Peterson, the head coach of the South Dakota men's basketball team. Of course, Coach Peterson is in his third year as the head coach of South Dakota men's basketball. We'll see how the season goes, but I know he's very, very excited for this team. The Coyotes will play 3 games at home next week. That's Monday against Southern, part of a doubleheader with the women. They'll play Wednesday night against Texas A&M Commerce, and then Sunday afternoon against Mount Marty. So we'll see how things play out for the Coyotes. But those 3 games to start at home, come out and check out Coyote men's basketball this week. 3 times you get the opportunity in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Ticket information is available at goyotes.com. Don't forget, it is a whiteout on Monday, so wear your white to the doubleheader. Before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. The volleyball team will host North Dakota on Thursday, 7 o'clock. In the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Then on Friday, swimming and diving heads to the Husky Extravaganza in Rochester, Minnesota, hosted by St. Cloud State. That will continue on Saturday for the swimming and diving team. Women's soccer will play 6 o'clock Friday evening at South Dakota State in the Summit League Tournament. On Saturday, cross-country Summit League Championships are being held in Vermilion this weekend, and volleyball is at home at 2 o'clock as the Coyote volleyball team will take on Oral Roberts Saturday afternoon. And then basketball gets going for us next week. Monday, it's a doubleheader. The women take on St. Louis at 5:30. The men against Southern at 8 o'clock. And then next Wednesday, the men's team back at home against Texas A&M Commerce. So a lot going on for Coyote Athletics. Hope you can catch a game, match, or meet very, very soon. As always, for schedule and ticket information, check out goyotes.com. That's it for us this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a great weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.